Spent a good 5 hours breaking down last night's game, and that's our very own Andy Lindahl from the morning show with Tyler Palumbis. And I'm sure you're giggling a little bit as Mason and I break down the offensive line, and you got a guy who could do it pretty well there in Tyler Palumbis. But what did you see from the game last night?
Hold on. You know, and Mason will appreciate this because he's a Seinfeld fan. Are you sticking it to me? You're sticking it to me? I got to do 5 hours?
Maybe I am a little bit. I've only got 4 hours on the air, bud.
Strangely enough, Andy, I got my No Soup For You Soup Nazi bobblehead in the mail today.
I don't care about that. Now, I love you. I don't care about that. Let's get down to the real business. Did you buy the little Ditka sweater that you texted me? Because you went oddly quiet after I told you to buy that thing right off the rack.
Because I sent you the picture and the text message. I was already back in the press box, and I did not buy it. I'm sorry.
That disappoints me more than anything I saw in the game last night, Andy Mason.
I let you down. I'm sorry, man.
Well, as folks know, Andy, you've been on the sidelines for the Broncos for a long, long time. You got a little different perspective of the game this time, kind of watching a little bit on TV, and I'm sure you probably recorded it just like we do all the way through, so you could see that perspective. But seeing it, hearing it last night, what were kind of some of your takeaways from a game where the Broncos won? But there's a lot of things that. You know, the overreaction after a preseason game number one.
Yeah, well, I've already gotten a pep talk from one person saying, so here is my first negative thought that I was talked out of by someone I trust. And that was, I wanted a little more life out of the offense energy-wise when Simeon was in there. You know, I just think the thing that we can't get around is there's something missing that's not allowing the coaching staff to call off this quarterback search. And it's still on for another week. I think we'll all know by next week who it is. Right now, it's still on. And so I wanted a little more energy. I wanted a little more pep. I wanted a little more let's go. And I was told, look, it's the first preseason game. Why don't you just calm down? So I'm going to go with that. but I'm still going to be watching. I'm going to still be watching for it. How about I put it that way? But I gentlemen, here's what I figured out. And you tell me what you thought. And Mace, you were in there. You were at the stadium. It is time to name a quarterback. It is just time to name a quarterback because my biggest disappointment is I see all this chemistry on a defense that I think could be very special if we can keep some more people healthy. Very disappointed for Billy Winn, the person, because he seems like a good guy. Talked to him a few times last year. I think he could have been a big player. Probably had maybe one of those breakout years like we saw from Malik Jackson once upon a time. Not going to happen now because of the knee injury he's done for the year, so that's a big blow. You don't want any more of that. But if they stay healthy, I think the defense could be special. We could be back into the don't waste it mode. And I just feel like in order for this offense to find any kind of energy like the defense shows, they've got to start figuring out who's starting and just practicing. Now, I don't blame the coaches for still continuing the search because I can't say anybody blew my doors off last night outside of the young guys and Stephen Ridley, who still is a young guy. But I just want to see us pick a group, get them together, and let's try to find a way to make this thing run smoother.
Yeah, you mentioned Billy Winn. He had a great game last night before he got hurt. And he was starting to do some things that remind me of Vance Walker last year before he went down.
And yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
I remember, by the way, earlier, Andrew, I lost his name, but he's exactly who I thought of.
And there was one play when I was going back and rewatching the game. He gets a double team. He pushes two guys in the backfield. And he still gets free and still makes the tackle for a stop for a no gain on the run, and that's he was making those kinds of plays all night. Both Winn and Jared Crick were consistently not being moved and not being pushed back at the snap, and that's why you saw the Broncos doing such a good job defending the run in the first quarter. And it's not a coincidence that when the moment Winn went down, the run defense really started to struggle from that point forward.
Yeah, and so they've got to shore up. The other thing I didn't like, now again, it's just preseason, and Tyler said they got to get it going. He doesn't seem as worried about it. But look, for me, guys, I'm not worried about the perfect game. I'm not worried about anybody. I don't know. You know, even great games, you know, even the throws and the stuff that happened late, we wouldn't have lost our minds about that. I love what Kyle Sloter did because you know what? People thought Kyle Sloter was a camp arm that would be cut. And now Kyle Sloter may have a chance to be, if not on this team's practice squad minimum, on someone's practice squad because that kid showed all right for himself. So good for him. I hope he feels good about his game last night. I'd be proud if I were he and his family. He's a UNC kid, so we feel good for the guy. I'm not going to lose my mind over any of that, but I'll tell you what, I'd like to see the trends are going to change. And in third and one, fourth and one, the trend didn't change. You got blown up at the line of scrimmage, and nobody found a hole to go get that extra yard. In the red zone, after a turnover, we ended up with a field goal instead of finding a way to get that thing in the end zone. So those are the trends that I don't want to see continue. And preseason or not, base packages or not, whatever caveats you want to put on this thing, I do want to see some trends change. Those are two of them, and I'm disappointed that they did.
Yeah, and you talked about the short yardage. Yes, it was with the backup offensive line, but that backup offensive line had a lot of guys that have started in this league and started last year in this league. They needed to do better. They needed to get more of a push off the snap, and they didn't do it.
Let's talk about those young guys. We haven't talked as much about it. We've been kind of breaking down quarterbacks. You heard us do a little bit on the offensive line, which obviously goes right for the quarterbacks, but Carlos Henderson, I thought it was a nice little bounce back, muffed a couple of kickoffs, but then got himself a return, showed a little bit of that speed. That's not a fatal thing that happens to him. Isaiah McKenzie didn't get a chance to return a punt, but sure got to flash down the seam there for that touchdown. And then D'Angelo Henderson shows that speed kills. Doesn't matter what team you're going against.
Well, you know what, Andrew, you tell me how you feel. I kind of laughed about this on the air today. I sort of thought the Broncos wanted to keep Mr. Henderson under wraps and not throw so much tape out there. And that thing went out. Like Jeb Putzier with the one-handed catch against Seattle in the fourth preseason game years ago. Mr. Henderson kind of showed the league what he's got if you disrespect the speed. And I don't think they wanted that getting out there on tape right away, winning touchdown or not. So the cat's out of the bag. I think that kid's going to be a player. Now, you can tell me it's against third stringers. That's fine. I got news for you. He does it against everybody, and that's why guys have been talking him up all camp. And look, I still really like Stephen Ridley. I don't know how you guys feel about it, and I know that maybe not every play he had was explosive, but there was one point where he ran well. I thought he ran well in tight spaces. He carried a couple guys at one point with him for another couple of yards. The kid's hungry. He's explosive. I don't know that he's going to push Jamal Charles' roster spot into jeopardy, but I just think you got to find a way to keep this kid on the roster. I think he's too perfect a fit, and you just happen to get lucky that he was out of an NFL job. I just think this kid's got to find his way onto the team the way he's playing right now.
I'll tell you something, just looking at Anderson, Ridley, and Henderson, CJ, I thought his except for that, he slipped on one cutback, but his vision on the cutbacks and seeing the holes was pretty good. There was one play where I thought he could have had more yardage if he'd gone in another direction, but in general, he's seeing the gaps when they're there and he's attacking him. He looks to be reading things like he was in 2014, which is a good sign for him back in the scheme. Ridley's running hard. He's running like his life depends on every carry. D'Angelo Henderson looks like he could be something special in the making. This looks like a very deep group right now, and with any of them, I think you could have success moving the ball on a consistent basis.
I second that on Stephen Ridley, by the way, with you. I thought he ran really well last night, and he's healthy. You can really see that. We've seen that at camp.
Yeah, and look, man, I've been banging the guy's drum since he interviewed with us because I just like his attitude. When a kid tells you, he was very open about the fear. Look, I think we all like it when guys are real, and we've had a lot of real interviews. I thought Bobby Pesavento, I'd invite anybody to go listen to Bobby break down the challenges you face as a quarterback and how many decisions have to be made in the first three steps between steps three and five as far as reads and getting the ball out and this and that. That was a real interview yesterday. When I talked with Stephen Ridley with Tyler Palumbus earlier in camp, the guy told me, you know how scary it is when all you know how to do is play football? You thought that basically, he said he took it for granted. I'm a third-round pick out of a four-year deal. Along comes a knee injury, and it upends everything. And I thought someone's going to call me. Next thing you know, the guy's sitting in a subway taking the call from the Broncos, thinking nobody was ever going to give him a chance again, and he had to really look life in the face. And, I mean, that's a real answer. And you see it when he plays. You know what I mean? This is a guy that I think there's a lot of players that face their mortality, some later than Steven did. I think the effort you see is never going to go away. And I'm rooting for the kid. I won't lie about it. I'm rooting for the kid to make it because – I just think he'll bring an extra something to that room that maybe goes along with love of the game, because I know the kid doesn't want to lose it again. He convinced me of that. He doesn't want to be out of an NFL locker room. He doesn't want to be out of a job. He doesn't want to have to figure out what the next step in his young life, because he's only in his mid-20s. I hope it works out for him. Hey, the other thing I guess I got to bring up to you guys is you brought up some of the guys that flashed last night. Andrew Mason, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't remember Jordan Taylor playing too many special teams, but after he had a bad play on third down, he went down and was trying to blow a punt up. Mm-hmm. It looks to me like Jordan said, hey, you want me on special teams, I'll be on special teams. What do you make of that?
I know that he's been trying to volunteer, and he wants to get out there and show his stuff more. That he understands the situation. He knows that he's got to get out there, and he was getting out there on some special teams units late last year as well. So, he knows that he's kind of got to push a little more to get a role on special teams, and maybe he's going to have to fight for that a bit more, and we'll see where it leads him. But you know, he's not going to make the roster without succeeding on special teams. And you saw the night that Cody Latimer had on offense last night, but you know, Taylor, you know, had some catches of his own, nearly had that. And you know, if he'd had that deep ball from Paxton Lynch, I think you know, would have been a big night for him. But I don't think he knocked himself off schedule with what he did last night.
We haven't talked hardly at all about the coaching staff, and this was their first live game that they could go through. Got the sense that Vance Joseph, first of all, not happy with all the penalties, but he seemed to enjoy himself, but was still kind of figuring out what he's going to do as a head coach, because he's not calling plays for the first time in a while on the sidelines.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting to watch him from above. Now, I know this. I saw him turn around to a number of people and yell. So he knows what he wants out of a certain player, certain situation. Look, I'll ask you guys, because we all covered it together. Vance Joseph, and I go back to Josh, I've done it a couple of times, and it's the only frame of reference that I have, because he's the only other first-time head coach I've covered. Obviously, I've covered all the Broncos coaching changes since Shanahan, but I've never covered, other than Josh, a first-year head coach, the Broncos have been lucky. Vance has been, this thing's under control. There's a calmness. I think the guys really like him. There's not this adversarial thing going on like I kind of felt immediately with Josh. I know Vance has got to find his way around the sidelines, but you know what I like? Vance is letting his guys coach. And sometimes with young head coaches, you know, you get like Josh wanting to do the play calling. Look, Vance was calling plays last year defensively. Vance could have been all up in everyone's grill and trying to call plays and trying to make sure he just kept that going to just make it look like he's doing something. The fact that Vance is letting his coaches coach, to me, from the guys I've talked to, and I remember Brian Cabral when he filled in for Dan Hawkins back at CU, found this to be weird. He still wanted the headset on. He still wanted his hands in some things, you know. Some guys can never really let it go. A guy that lets his coaches coach is a guy that other coaches are going to want to coach with. And I think that speaks highly of Vance Joseph and the comfort in who he is and what he brings to the table. And I think that, you know, I don't know that everything's going to go swimmingly right now, because there's clearly some transition going on. I think some of the offensive struggles at times that we saw not having fully the identity showed up last night, and hopefully they get those worked out. But I am impressed overall with how this staff has come together and how it feels like everyone's been together for a while for the most part compared to the chaos that surrounded Josh his first year.
It's funny because like, I was thinking that with Vance Joseph letting his coaches coach. And when you go back to, say, the John Fox years, one of the positives – about the Fox era was letting his coordinators and his coaches kind of do their jobs. And it's one reason that Fox usually had very strong coordinators in Carolina and in Denver for the most part. And look how many of them have gone on to be head coaches. And I think a big part of that is giving them the freedom to do their jobs.
All right. Good perspective, Andy. Stop bringing up Josh McDaniel's name and we'll be fine, okay?
Look, man. It's a nightmare, and I'm going to make you all remember it as much as I have to.
You don't believe that I don't relive that thing when something comes up that reminds me of that two-year run?
We have to bring up some names from time to time, but I've learned in the last few years there are two names that tend to bring out a lot of fire and anger in Bronco fans. One is Josh McDaniels, and the other, and it's kind of unfair, but it's just reality, Raheem Moore.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is unfair. Come on now. I thought you were going to go with Jay Cutler. How are you going to go on Raheem Moore like that? Raheem was at least a nice guy.
I like Raheem.
There's no spoken Raheem Moore sight.
I like Raheem. I think he was a great guy. But if you bring up his name, every Bronco fan thinks of the Baltimore playoff game, and they want to come at me with pitchforks and torches. I feel like I feel like I've triggered something emotionally.
Hey, by the way, you bringing up Raheem Moore reminds me of our 2012 debate, which we're still trying to solve. But Ray Crockett, a man on the team, Ray Crockett says the 96 team was not better than 97-98. He said that emphatically on the show today. Boom.
Wow.
Wow.
So problem solved. Answered.
Well, no, a lot of people were arguing the 96 was better. Now, Ray said he thought they would have won the Super Bowl, but that did not make them a better team than the two they had 97.
Okay, well, that's a good caveat because I thought they would have won the Super Bowl, too.
I've been with Ray and I are like mind on that. That's, I mean, he's absolutely correct on this.
Well, there we go.
Well, a little kumbaya moment on a Friday.
Yes.
Maybe it's just time I disappear.
Look at all the things we got solved. Hey, man, enjoy your weekend. I'm sure I'll probably see you out there at training camp tomorrow, though, right? Just hanging around, or are you going to take the weekend off?
Oh, I don't know. The boys got a karate tournament, so we'll see.
Oh, there we go.
Not promising anything. I got to make sure Johnny doesn't show up.
Yes, indeed. Sweep the leg. Sweep the leg.
I got to make sure his crane technique is down.
All right, that's Andy Lindahl. Thanks, Ben. Andy Lindahl, of course, 7 to noon. And
third down, 3-by-1. 3 to the left, 1 right. Glennon floats one in the middle of the field. That pass intercepted by Chris Harris Jr. He's got some blockers out in front. 30, 25, 20. Chris Harris Jr., 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Denver. Nice way to start the preseason for Chris Harris Jr.
Great way to start the preseason, Chris Harris Jr. Our man joining us now, and it's brought to you by Coloradans for Responsible Energy Development. Learn the facts at cred.org. Chris, man, that's how you get it done, right? Go in there for a couple plays, pick six, night over. How did you like that?
Man, that's how we planned it, man. We try to make enough plays to get us out the game fast, and I was just able to make that play.
Did you think you were still in OTAs? And having that fast. What's up, Chris? It's Ray Crockett, man.
Man, it's crazy because we had a scrimmage last week, and it was the same play I picked off on Paxton, so. It's kind of something that they don't see me falling off my man, so it's something I'm involved in, and I see a lot more plays coming this year.
Well, and you know what, Chris? The pressure certainly doesn't hurt. You got good pressure even without your top guys in there. That's got to make you smile, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, dude, man, I can't wait till Vaughn gets out there and – right now, man, we're just trying to get in shape, man. Get in shape, make sure that we're game ready for when we play the Chargers.
So, Chris, when you look at the way training camp is going right now, and some people will say that it's been soft because, you know, the physicality is not there. As a defensive group, what do you guys think about that when you're not really getting a lot of tackling and things of that nature and then you get into a real game? Is it easy to turn it on like that?
For me, it is. I would say probably for everybody on the defense, probably. But our offensive guys, it's a new system, and they got to start gelling together. So I would say it definitely affects them more than us. And I think as the time goes down, as the preseason goes along, the offensive line, they'll be more connected. All the timing and stuff within the offense, quarterbacks be more comfortable. So I think guys will start looking a lot better.
I'm glad you alluded to that, Chris, because from a defensive standpoint, how much do you guys pay attention to that? Say, for instance, you know there's a quarterback competition, as they say, going on. From a defensive standpoint, how much do you guys actually pay attention to what's happening over there and what you have to allude to when you think about, is this really a competition or you guys already know?
Man, it's definitely we definitely pay attention, and like I said, we're just trying to ground them both, man. Try to make it hard for both of them every day. And, make it to where it's going to coach whoever stands out and whoever makes the most plays, everybody will know. And, that's what you can ask for when you have a coach like Vance Joseph. He let everybody have a fair chance, fair opportunity to start. And that's what he's giving these guys.
Well, Chris, it's on to San Francisco next week. I know you got to practice tomorrow and a couple more practices before you head out, but are you excited to get a chance to go against the Niners in a couple of practices before you play, or do you not like the joint practices?
I don't really like them too much, but, I mean, I guess it'd be good to practice against somebody else and kind of see what they do and just get a different looks. But I don't know. I just don't like it too much because it's more like a game kind of in practice.
Right.
And so that's the only thing. That's the only thing I don't like about it, really.
Well, looking at this secondary, Chris, I mean, you guys look. I always tend to say that the no-fly zone. I love the term. And when I watch you guys play, we know what the first unit's going to be. We know what you're going to do. We know what Keeb's going to do. We know what, you know, we know you guys are bona fide. But looking at that second group last night, is there one guy that you would say, especially from a corner standpoint, you got Chris Lewis, Harris, and Dawson, all these guys compete. Is which one of those guys do you think or would you say is the guy that's going to step up and you think has the best chance to fill in one of those nickel guys or dime guys?
I would say Doss right now. He's always around the ball. He's always able to get those picks. He might get beat a couple times, but he's going to come up with a pick. So I can always take my chances with Doss. I think D-Lion definitely has the talent. It just hasn't slowed down for him. It's hard to rookie year, man. It's hard, especially in our defense. We do a lot of checks on the run, a lot of we can change the defense up on the fly, and it can be pretty fast for you for the first year.
And speaking about changing the defense up, Chris, I know I interned with you guys a little last year, so I got to see you guys live, and I was very impressed with Joe Woods. That's my man. You guys love him, and so do I. With him moving to the defensive coordinator job, are you going to do anything different? I mean, I guess if you would have to put your hand on one thing and say, Wade Phillips, I was fortunate enough to play under him as well. From Wade Phillips to Joe Woods, what do you think the difference would be?
Man, I would say, man, Joe's so detailed with it. And I mean, you know from firsthand how he is. And then you add a guy like Vance Joseph, who coached DBs his whole career and has his defense that, he's added more to Joe, and I mean that's just gonna make us get more plays and more. In the past, we've been so much man that it's been hard to get picks because
yes,
we're always in man, we're always tight. You know what I mean? So
and eyes are never on the ball.
Yeah, it's hard. So now we got more vision. That's first thing Coach Joseph said. I want to take a lot of pressure off you guys, and that's what he's doing so far. And I think yesterday is the first look at it.
And that's what I saw last night in that play that you made. In a normal bump and run defense scheme, one that's really tight bump and run, you wouldn't have never made that play because you wouldn't have been able to have vision to come off of that. So I know you got to be excited to see those picks coming your way this year.
Oh, yeah, man. And, I mean, that's a play right there. What I did is I'm not coached to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a cheap play.
Yeah. I'm not coached to fall off my man and go get a pick, you know what I mean? So that's something that I'm trying to evolve. I'm trying to take my game to the next level, and that's what I plan on doing this year.
All right, man, we're going to cut you free. Look forward to talking to you this year. But real quick, we just learned Ezekiel Elliott's going to be down 6 games. That means you don't face him. You will not face him in week 2. Is that big for you guys?
Oh, yeah, that's huge.
Look, yeah. Yes.
I just put a smile on your face, didn't we?
Chris, I get you.
I can't sugarcoat that, man. Ezekiel Elliott is one of the best running backs in the league.
And he's a big dude.
Yeah, the problem is his offense revolves around that, man. So they still got a great O-line, but I expect them to throw the ball a little bit more now versus him.
All right, I'll tell you what. You are a Twitter guy. You got to welcome Ray to Twitter. He's at SlickPick639. So,
what'd you think about that handle? Yeah. At SlickPick639. I didn't come up with it now, Chris. I know you're thinking, what? They gave that to me.
Hey, I'm all about pumping up the strap hairs right now, man.
All right, man. Hey, Chris, we appreciate it, bud. Have a good day and rest up. We'll talk to you next week.
Congrats, man. Yeah. Keep doing your thing.
And we're off to Dallas-Fort Worth and the Fort Worth Star-Telegram is the place where Clarence Hill writes for and does a lot of media coverage. Clarence, appreciate you popping in on what has just become a very busy day for you. No Ezekiel Elliott for 6 weeks, 6 games for the Cowboys. What does that mean in your mind?
It's a huge setback for the Cowboys. He is their offense. The offense is based around the running game. Certainly, this fight is not over. Jerry Jones is not going to take this line down. Ezekiel Elliott most certainly will appeal this, if not take this to court. So we'll see. But just on the field, I mean, it's a huge setback. And again, the Cowboys went 13-3 last year. They played the last place schedule. This year, they're playing the first place schedule. Even with Ezekiel Elliott, they weren't going 13-3. And certainly, this, you know, in this competitive NFC East, certainly competitive NFC, they wanted to build on what they did last year, losing their best player for the first six games. You know, that's going to be hard to overcome. And again, they opened the season with the Giants, who swept them last year, two of their first three games on the road, including a game at Denver. Huge setback for the Cowboys.
Clarence, what's up? My friend Ray Crockett here. Hey, okay, when you look at that and you say they're going to appeal it, what does that mean? Because, you know, we hear suspended first six game, that just goes to our mind right away. The appeal process, what does that mean? Is he still able to play?
Number one, you know, most times it starts at six and you go meet with Roger Goodell and it could get dropped to four. You know, and if you look at a lot of those suspensions, they do, you know, in the past have dropped down to four. And I think even going back to Ben Roethlisberger's suspension, it started at six and came down to four once you meet the commissioner. And certainly in the Cowboys' hope and Elliott's hope is that it's come and been announced in time for him to file an appeal and then rule on the appeal before the start of the season so they at least know, you know, what they have to deal with. But, again, I think it may be bigger than that. I mean, Jerry Jones has been very adamant since the start of training camp that he's seen all the evidence and nothing is warranted a suspension. He talked at the Hall of Fame last week that there's nothing there. They have no case. They have nothing for him to be suspended on. Again, I can't wait to see what the commissioner's ruling is and the explanation for why they suspended him. That hasn't been announced yet. That hasn't been talked about yet. And we'll see. But Jerry Jones and Ezekiel most likely are not going to take this line down.
Hey, real quickly, you said court. Could we see a Tom Brady Deflategate type thing where they try to put this in court? Do you think they do that so we can keep playing?
I don't know. I mean, I think all avenues are open. I mean, the Cowboys and Elliott, he's maintained his innocence all along. He has text messages, you know, claiming that the woman was trying to sabotage him. And certainly there's inconsistent information regarding her testimony and at least as far as the prosecutor's office in Columbus. But the NFL does not need to meet the burden of a prosecutor. You know, they just need to meet the burden of the NFL and say under their collective bargaining agreement and certainly under the personal conduct policy, you don't need a conviction for a suspension. And I think they did their due diligence. It took 13 months trying to get this right.
Right.
Which is why they took so long. And they did consult an independent panel of investigators before they made the ruling. So we'll see. The fight has just begun.
Clarence, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. We know you're busy. We'll let you get back to it, but thank you.
Thank you, brother. I'll talk to you later, man. See you
at
church.
Appreciate you.
All right.
That's Clarence Hill, who writes for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram.
Okay, let's talk with the Pro Bowl wide receiver of the Broncos, Emmanuel Sanders. It's Dave Logan and Rick Lewis. Thanks for taking some time out. Appreciate it. What did you think of the first-team offense? You guys didn't get a lot of snaps, but how retrospectively, how did it go for you guys?
Yeah, I think I played 12 snaps. I think offensively we did a good job. I think, you know, when me, Demarius, and CJ was off and there, we moved the ball down the field. I think, you know, we created penalties, the PI on me, but also we also had penalties as well. So we got to get rid of those. But, you know, at the end of the day, you want to go down and you want to at least put points on the board. We were able to accomplish that. We didn't get the seven that we wanted, mm-hmm. but we were still able to get three.
Emmanuel, hey, it's Rick Lewis here. Last night watching the game from the booth when Kyle Sloter was in the game and threw that touchdown pass to Isaiah McKenzie, I was watching you and DT running up and down the sidelines like cheerleaders. You guys got really excited when he was in that football game, and it was fun to watch that.
Yeah, I don't think it had anything to do with the quarterback. I just think that, you know, he threw the ball to Isaiah. We were able to score. We were able to go up and tie the game. That was just awesome. You know, prior to the game, I had told all the young guys, yes, it's preseason, but at the same time, we want to win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we came out of the game, we were winning. And then third quarter came, we started losing. Everybody's like, we can't lose this game. And, you know, with the competitive nature got in us, and, you know, Slaughter was able to hook up with Isaiah, and it was just awesome. So that's what we were excited about, that, you know, we had an opportunity to tie the game, hopefully go and try and win it.
Emmanuel Sanders is our guest. I was thinking back. I remember the first touchdown pass I caught in a preseason game. I was so excited. Came off the field. We're playing the Eagles at the Vet. You know, guys congratulate me. I'm thinking this is the greatest moment of my life. Sat down on the bench. The special teams coach came up and said, hey, congratulations. Is that your first one? I said, yeah, it's my first one. He said, that's fine. He said, were you on the kickoff coverage team, by the way? I said, oh, man. I missed the kickoff coverage team. He fined me $250. I want to ask you, do you remember your first preseason touchdown as a Pittsburgh Steeler? And if so, describe what you were feeling, if you can remember, back when you caught one.
Man. I can't even. I think it was versus the Giants.
Right.
I was all excited. You know, I was more excited to get back to my phone because I know all my friends was watching.
Right.
Be able to see. You know, to get the text message of people saying, I saw you score. You know, good job. Da, 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 da.
Right.
But, you know, but those rookies, man, you know, like I'm happy I don't have to be a rookie every single year off in the NFL. Because the rookie, I tell them all the time when they sit down and they eat lunch with me or they walk in to me complaining. I say, hey, look, man, we've all been a rookie at least once.
That's right.
I mean, you're out there and you're playing all the snaps, and then you're playing all the snaps on special teams. Yep. I mean, you put your body through something. But I tell them it's an initiation into the NFL. Welcome to the NFL. It's not going to be easy. But at the same time, if you can make it through your rookie year, you can really get established. And guess what? Your rookie year will be the hardest. So embrace it.
You know, and you made the good point when Rick talked to you about you guys and your reaction to the sideline. There's just something really cool from a veteran standpoint. You've been in the league. You know you can play. You're an established guy. And now you're out of the game in a preseason game that really doesn't matter all that much. And yet you see these young cats go out there. And in Isaiah McKenzie's case, he's wide open, but he catches the ball, he scores. I mean, you're probably more excited than Isaiah was at that point. It's just a really cool moment for a vet.
Of course, of course. It's everything to see a young guy grow. And you know, Isaiah, you know, he sat back, and I know last night before he went to sleep, he watched that highlight over and over and over, you know,
right.
Over and over, man. I scored my first touchdown, the slaughter. He watched this film over and over, like, man, I could probably make it in this league. And that's how it starts, you know. These guys, they get their confidence as a rookie, you know. If you start balling as a rookie, then your confidence level is up. Like, I can make it in the NFL. Because right now, everybody comes in and they're hearing stories. Oh, the game is fast. The game is this. It's the difference between boys and men, this and that, this and that. And then you go out there and you ball, and you're like, all right, I can make it here.
That's right.
And I think that's the greatest thing about, you know, seeing those young guys go out and ball.
You know, it's cool. After the game in the locker room, I talked to Isaiah, and he said, this is the best day of my life. That was his response.
Awesome.
And I don't know if you got a chance to talk to him after the game, Emmanuel, but yeah, he just, his smile lit up that whole locker room after that game.
Oh yeah, he was ecstatic. He was excited, man. And that's what it's about. You know, it's going to be interesting. I'm getting ready to head up to work just to see these guys, you know, all the guys that balled out in the preseason game, and then we win, you know, everybody walk around and their chest is poking out a couple inches further, you know? So it's going to be interesting to go up here and really just see them and just be happy for those guys. And I'm happy as well. It's nothing like waking up, you know, after a game and getting back. We got back last night at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
knowing that you won that game. You know, everybody comes to work and they're all excited, but we know that we got to keep getting better. But at least we won the game. And it was our training camp measured up against the Chicago Bears training camp. And our training camp won. So, you know, the goal is to say, you know, we got three more games and we got to match up no matter what. If the ones play two plays and threes play, it's still the depth of the teams, and it's showing what organization is prepared and what organization isn't.
Hey, final thought, Emmanuel, for me. We're talking to Emmanuel Sanders. We'll talk to him every week during the course of the season. You know, you guys leave Tuesday for San Francisco. We'll catch up with you a little bit late in the week, but you'll have Wednesday and Thursday as opportunities to go against somebody different, go against the Niners in whether it's 9-on-7 or 7-on-7 or 1-on-1 routes. And I think even from a veteran standpoint at this time of camp, it's kind of a good thing to move away from your guys that you're going against and go against guys that you really don't see that much.
Yeah, I'm excited to go out there. This is the first time I've traveled to another team's facility and stayed in a hotel just to practice against them. So it's a new experience for me, but I tell you what, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the opportunity at hand of just getting better. You know, going against Akeem and Chris, you know, every day, you know, the battles are hard. And I understand that that's the hardest it's going to get because they're the best that this league has to offer. So to go out there and, you know, compete against other guys and see where I stand against those guys is also good as well.
Yep, no doubt about it. Manuel, thanks for the time. We'll see you this week.
All right, thanks, man.
Yep, that's Emmanuel Sanders.